Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your place. This seems like we had a little bit of a technical malfunction there. I want to apologize for everybody. The show was supposed to start at 8 o'clock, and it would have been much later except my wife, she took driving lessons from Batman. Actually, I think she taught him how to drive, and so she was able to get through all the wild people out there in their Christmas traffic and get us home much quicker than what we thought we was going to get here. And Joy Bells is going to come in and try to help us tonight, and I'm guessing something happened on that end. So, but anyway, we're all here now, and we want to remind everyone that all you have to do is press 1 on your telephone. That lets you show up on our board, that you have a comment or question that you'd like to make on the show topic, and we can hear you or we can see that and put you on the air. Pushing 1 does not put you on the air. It just lets us know that you want to be on the air, and you will be identified by the last 4 digits of your phone number. And for all of our military people that listen and everything, you're going to be surprised to find that this week is a 2-hour show, the Your Place Christmas edition. I wanted to share an ode from late in the 50s family theater Christmas show with you tonight that you can listen to for a little bit entertaining. And then we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, Christmas. Last week we talked about taking up our cross to follow Jesus, and what did that mean? And I know in myself, I've done a lot of thinking about that, and I had some time for prayer yesterday, and thinking about Christmas and how we look at things. It's funny, you know, it's like everything else in life. You know, we judge things by how it tastes, by how it smells, by how we feel, by our perceptions, by our opinions. We use all those things to come up with what we decide is what the facts are on something. And sometimes I think that we need to think, as I say, outside the box to look at things a little different. But since we got kind of a late start here, I want to go ahead and go into our Christmas show. And this is from the late 1950s. And I hope everyone can hear it and that you enjoy this. And we'll be back with you after it finishes playing.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent show, My Friend Irma, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma with Joan Banks as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgotten, theirs will still be hot.
Well, we do have another malfunction here. That is not the show that was supposed to be playing on here. We do have another one I can bring with you that has to do with Christmas. So,
Mother,
are
Post 40% Bran Flakes really the best-tasting cereal of them all?
Well, your father says so, and father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by America's largest-selling brand flake, Post 40% brand flake. And by Instant Postum, the good-tasting drink that's entirely caffeine-free. This has been a merry Christmas day in the white frame house on Maple Street. Since early this morning, when little Kathy scrambled downstairs to see what Santa had left under the tree, the Anderson household has been in a whirl of holiday excitement. Phones ringing, friends dropping in. What a wonderful day. And now comes the nicest part of all, the warm afterglow of Christmas night. Dinner is over, and all the Andersons, Jim, Margaret, Betty, Bud, and Kathy, have gathered in the living room with just the lights of the tree and the glow of the burning log in the fireplace, like this.
You know, dear, I think that's the prettiest tree we've ever had.
Yeah. Look at the stack of presents around there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old St. Nick delivered all those things. He must have had a sleigh with a trailer on it.
This was simply the most out-of-the-world Christmas, Father. My new robe is just too utterly unbearably yummy.
Look at this telescope, Mom. You can see stuff a mile away.
Oh, it's wonderful. Where'd you find it, Jim?
Oh, in a little shop downtown.
Did you see my stove, Daddy? It's just like a real one.
Oh, that's a dandy, kitten.
How'd you like the present I gave you, Betty?
Oh, it's real nice, Kathy. I've always wanted a dog leash.
Yeah, that'll come in real handy if you ever get a dog.
What did you get, Mom?
Oh, so many lovely things. French perfume and this beautiful tea set. Oh, Jim, you shouldn't have done it.
Well, you like it, don't you, honey?
Oh, of course, but
put on your new house coat, Mother. Let's see it.
Well, I'll have to shorten the sleeves just a little.
But isn't it beautiful?
Gee, Mommy, you could wear that to a party.
With my new slippers, won't I be elegant?
Did you find the present I gave you, Mom?
I certainly did, Bud. I'm in love with that new mop.
It has a long handle, so you don't have to stoop over. Did you see it over there, Dad?
Oh, Bud, that's a beautiful mop. It's so dark in here, I can't see. Is it blonde or brunette?
Feel my new doll's hair, Daddy. Isn't it soft?
Oh, that's real soft, kitten. You know, that's the kind of hair you can really wash and give permanence and everything.
Can I wash it now?
Not now, Angel.
Father, how did you know that I was simply dying for this necklace? This very necklace?
I don't know, Princess. Just mental telepathy, I guess. Around Christmas, a fellow just seems to pick up thought waves.
Well, you certainly must have read my mind on this compact, dear. It's exactly what I wanted.
I don't know how you did all this, Father.
Well, you're the only family I have.
Everything is so excruciatingly perfect.
Betty, what's that package over there?
Oh, that's my present from Bud. Isn't it nice?
What is it?
A collapsible water bucket.
Now, that's a handy thing to have.
Sure, it's keen for bailing out a boat.
Daddy, do you want to hear a record? I can play it on my new phonograph.
Holy cow, did you get a phonograph too?
Sure, and games and books and everything.
I don't think any family ever had a nicer Christmas. I can't believe all these things are for me.
And look at all the things Father bought for me. Oh, this portable radio is dreamy, just dreamy.
How about the stuff he got for me? Football and a camera and a fishing outfit? Gee, thanks, Dad.
Well, it's Christmas.
Everybody just got everything. Father, you haven't showed us your things.
Yo, what did you get, Dad?
Oh, I got a lot of things here.
Let's see them, Daddy.
Well, I got a necktie from Betty and a nice nail file from Kathy.
Well, dear...
And I got a blotter from Bud. Oh, I had a fine Christmas.
Is that all you got? A nail file and a necktie and a blotter?
Well, what's wrong with that, Princess? I'm very happy.
Betty, isn't there something missing? What's that long package behind the tree?
That belongs to Mrs. Phillips. It's a present from Mr. Phillips, and she asked me if she could leave it over here. They're out of town for the holidays.
Look, don't worry about it. I needed a nail file.
Dear, I've been wanting to tell you. I ordered a new briefcase for you, and Bud bought a beautiful leather desk set to go with the blotter. But there was a mix-up in the delivery.
Oh, honey, I don't mind. It's been a wonderful Christmas. Really, it has.
Gee, Daddy, you didn't get anything.
Everybody got stuff but Dad.
Well, you haven't seen your real present yet, Father.
What's this?
We wanted it to be a surprise. That's why we kept it for the very last.
You hiding something from me, honey?
Well, this is news to me, dear.
It's from Bud and Kathy and me. A present from all of us.
Me too?
Sure. You know about it, Bud.
I do?
Do I know about it, too? Oh, of course. Gee, I know things I didn't even know I knew.
What kind of a plot are you kids hatching?
Now, you never mind, Father. You'll see.
Shall I close my eyes and hold out my hand?
Not yet.
Hey, Betty, I think we ought to have a meeting.
Yes, we have to talk privately. Will you excuse us?
Oh, yes, but... Oh, where are you going?
Up to my room. Come on, Bud.
I'm coming.
Wait for me. I'm coming, too.
Secret meetings now. What are the kids cooking up, honey?
Oh, don't ask me. Apparently, Betty has some kind of a surprise Christmas present hidden away for you. They didn't tell me anything about it.
How do you like that? I wonder why they didn't put it under the tree with the other things.
I don't know. I'm as curious about all this as you are.
Don't come up.
I won't. Now, what do you suppose it is?
Well, maybe it was too big to put under the tree, like a horse.
I can't imagine what the kids would get from me.
Want to sneak up and listen at the keyhole?
Oh, no. But I can't help wondering. You know, I'd give a nickel to know what they're talking about.
Now, what's the big secret?
Yeah, what do I know that I don't know? Poor Father, after all the perfectly gorgeous things he gave us, he gets nothing but a necktie and a nail file.
I could simply have cried.
Yeah, old Dad knocks himself out for everybody else, and he gets nothing.
It was a pretty good nail file. I paid a dime for it.
Well, we're not going to let him down. We're going to give him something that's utterly out of this world.
Gee, it's lucky that you got something for him. What is it?
Yeah, let's see it.
See it? I haven't got anything yet.
You haven't got it? You told him we had a big surprise.
You said I knew about it.
Well, I had to say something. We couldn't just sit there with egg on our faces.
Bud, have I got egg in my face?
Holy cow.
Get up off the floor, you big ox. It's still Christmas. We'll get a present for him. Something super.
Get a present? Where?
Well, we'll find one somewhere. We've got to. We've simply got to.
We can't buy anything. The stores are all closed.
I could give him one of my dolls.
Oh, he'd adore that.
Oh. Quit yakking and think. We haven't got all night. Where can we get a present for Father? Now, everybody think. Bud, don't just sit there looking dumb.
I'm thinking.
I thought of something.
What?
Patty Davis has some kittens to give away.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? We tell Father we have a gorgeous present for him and then give him a calf.
Two of the kittens are part Persian.
Oh, don't be a nitwit. It has to be something big.
Let's give him the mother cat.
Oh, clinkers and blinkers, forget the cats. It has to be something lavish, like a, well, like a set of power tools or a beautiful camera.
Hey,
or...
Joe Phillips has a camera.
What kind?
Oh, I don't know, but it's in one of those fancy leather cases you carry around your neck.
One of those real snazzy little ones?
Yeah, it must be a good camera. The case is real leather.
Does he use it?
No, it just sits up on the shelf in his closet.
Do you think he'd sell it?
Oh, I don't see why not. He doesn't use it. It just sits up on the shelf in his closet.
Are we going to give Daddy the camera?
Could we pay him later, like so much a week?
Sure. He isn't using it.
Are we?
Jeepers, this could be terrific. It's just what Father's always wanted.
Are we?
Why don't you phone Joe and ask him?
How can I? Mom and Dad are in the living room. They'll hear me.
Are we?
You can go in the den and close the door.
They could hear through the door.
Are we?
Are we what?
I forgot.
Hit the road, Shrimpoad. We've got problems.
I got problems, too. He's my daddy as much as yours.
How could we make some noise while you're phoning so Father wouldn't hear?
I can make noise.
You never stop.
Oh, turn green.
Say, wait. Maybe she could.
Turn green?
No. Look, why don't we all go downstairs? While you're phoning Joe, Kathy can go in the living room and sing. Father loves to hear her sing, and they won't hear you calling Joe. And while you two are doing that, I'll dig up a card someplace to put on the gift.
Okay, let's go.
What'll I sing?
Oh, sing anything. You know a lot of songs. Come on, hurry.
What are we gonna get, Daddy?
Bud's going to try to get a camera from Joe.
Don't say anything, Shrimp.
I won't. Boy, this is fun.
I told you we'd get something terrific for Father. Now go on in the den, Bud. Kathy, go in the living room and start singing. And act natural.
Okay.
We'll let you know when Bud's finished.
Okay. Hi, Daddy. Hi, Mommy.
Well, hello, kitten.
Hello, Angel.
What are you doing?
Just acting natural.
Oh.
Hello, Joe.
Is that Bud on the phone?
Would you like to hear me sing, Daddy?
What?
Okay. Oh, the bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain to see what he could see.
Well, that was very nice, kitten.
What prompted this sudden burst of song?
We're getting something terrific for Daddy.
Yeah, well, look, Joe.
Kathy! Oh, the bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain to see what he could see.
Lovely, kitten. Thank you. But why the serenade?
It's a secret. Is Bud finished yet?
Sure, Joe, but you
see... Oh, the bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. to see what he could see.
Kathy, dear, maybe some other song.
Are you getting tired of that one, Daddy?
No, but I feel kind of sorry for that bear. Do you think you'll get him over the mountain on the next trip?
Kathy, come out in the kitchen.
That means Bud's finished. We got it, Daddy. Boy, are you going to be surprised.
You know, Margaret, I may not be able to endure this suspense.
Well, from all appearances, this is going to be the biggest surprise since Columbus discovered America.
You shouldn't have let them buy me an expensive present, honey.
Dear, I told you, I know nothing about this.
They must have been saving up for it all year. Now, what do you suppose it could be?
I know it can't be anything less than a yacht or a gold-plated convertible.
I'll give you a hint, Daddy. It comes in a fancy case, and you can carry it over your shoulder.
Now, what in the world could that...
Hey, Kathy!
Okay, I'm coming.
Upstairs!
Gee whiz, make up your mind. Hurry up, Bud. Come in the room. Wait for me.
What did you have to spill it to Dad for?
I didn't. I just gave him a hand. Quiet and get in the room. Now, what did Joe say?
We're sunk.
What do you mean?
Well, he has that fancy leather case, all right, but there's no camera in it.
Oh, groom.
He can't afford a camera, so he just carries the case around.
Now we don't have a present for Daddy?
Oh, agony. This is worse than if I'd never said anything to Father. We can't do this to him. We've got to get something.
Joe has a left-handed bowling ball that used to belong to his aunt.
Betty, kids, aren't you ready yet?
Not yet, Father.
Princess, you kids shouldn't have gone out and spent all your money on me.
Oh, don't worry. We'll be down in a minute. Bud, what are we going to do?
I'm thinking.
Well, think harder.
I can. I'm getting a Charlie horse in my head.
Kathy, what are you doing at the window? I got to talk to a friend of mine. He'll help us. Santa Claus! Please bring something for our daddy!
Well, in one way or another, Santa will certainly answer a plea so heartfelt
hey,
as
what
Kathy.
Happened to you?
No one will deny that wonderful things do happen at Christmas, and especially for children. This is to them the most glorious day of the year, the day they look forward to for long weeks and months. And for them, those last few days before Christmas are the longest of all. Then suddenly, it's Christmas morning. All their waiting is rewarded, and each of us shares in their happy excitement.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now, perhaps this is the true magic of Christmas.
Yeah,
for in each of our hearts, there is something of the child that comes alive on December 25th. This is the day when the spirit of loving and giving touches all of us. Little wonder, then, that we cherish Christmas as our most joyous holiday. We of the Post family are happy to be with you and yours this holiday evening, to be, in a small way, part of your Christmas cheer. How sweetly rests the spirit of Christmas in the land this night. And again we have known the joy of giving, the good pleasure of bringing happiness to those we love. Well, perhaps I shouldn't say we. There are three members of the Anderson family who feel they didn't bring quite enough happiness to one they love very much. This evening, when the Andersons took stock of their Christmas gifts, Margaret and Betty and Bud and Kathy had presents galore, wonderful things. And Jim, who had given all this, he got a necktie and a 10-cent nail file. Well, Margaret had ordered a fine gift for Jim, but the delivery was delayed, and Jim thought nothing of it. But the children felt awful, and they've made up their minds to find a present for him if it's the last thing they do. Where do you find a beautiful present for Father on Christmas night? That's what they'd like to know.
Kathy, put the window down. It's too late to call for Santa Claus.
We can give him my piggy bank.
Oh, that's a keen idea. Dad put all the money in it.
Well, he'll get it back. That'll be a surprise.
Betty.
Oh, weepers. Just a minute, Mother.
Is anything wrong?
No, we'll be down in a minute.
got to do something. Father will know we're stuck.
Being stuck reminds me. I could make some candy for him.
Oh, that would be great. You'd make a big hit. Hit!
What's the matter? You flip your wig?
I've got it. I've got it!
Well, what?
The big, tall package behind the Christmas tree. It's a set of golf clubs for Mr. Phillips.
Yeah.
Well, they're out of town for Christmas, and Mrs. Phillips left them here so she can give them to Mr. Phillips when they get back.
What are you talking about?
Well, listen. Father's been wanting a new set of golf clubs. Why don't we take these and give them to Father?
We can go to jail that way.
Can I go too?
Quiet a minute. We'll just borrow the golf clubs for tonight, and tomorrow we'll all chip in out of our savings and buy another set for Mrs. Phillips. She won't be back till after New Year's, and she'll never know the difference.
Hey, not bad.
When do we go to jail?
We're not going to jail.
Why not?
Relax, knucklehead. This is legal.
What's legal?
Oh, darn. The package with the golf clubs in it is behind the Christmas tree in the living room. How are we going to get it out without Mother and Father seeing us?
Well, doesn't Mom know what's in that package?
No. Mrs. Phillips brought it over one day when Mother was out. Now, I know if we can sneak it out of the living room, neither Mother nor Father will miss it. It's kind of hidden behind the tree anyway.
We could turn off the lights and Bud could pretend he's a burglar.
We've got to get them out of the living room.
Hey, kid, what's going on?
Well, we've got to go down. We're coming, Father. Bud, you kind of stand around the tree and be ready to grab the package, and I'll get them outside somehow.
What do I do?
You just act natural. Don't do anything.
I've got to do something.
Well, just do what you usually do. All right, come on, let's go down.
Now, what do I do?
Shh. When I get Mother and Father out of the room, you grab the package with the golf clubs from behind the tree. Take it up to my room.
Okay, I'll go over by the tree.
Well, we thought you children were lost. Is anything wrong?
No, everything's fine.
We got a keen surprise for Daddy.
Hey, pipe down.
Well, Christmas night. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes. Quite interesting, too. What are you kids standing around the room for? You look like you're going into a T formation.
Can I have some tea?
Something wrong with the Christmas tree, Bud?
No, I'm just looking at it. Pretty big tree.
Mother, have you and Father seen the Christmas star? Come on outside. You can see it just as plain. It's simply gorgeous.
We've seen it, Princess. Your mother and I were outside while you kids were upstairs.
Oh.
Don't you want to sit down, Bud?
No, I like to stand here and smell the tree. It smells real good.
Hurry up, Betty.
Now, what kind of a conspiracy is this?
It's about your present, Daddy.
Kathy. Father, you left the car in the driveway. Don't you think you should put it in?
Yes, I suppose I'd better.
Don't hurry, Daddy.
Don't push me, kitten.
You'd better go along with him, Mother.
Me?
Somebody has to open the garage doors.
Well, all right.
You know, I'm probably wrong, Margaret, but I have a vague feeling they're trying to get us out of the house.
What gave you that idea?
Well, I really don't know.
Go on, Daddy.
All right. Come on, honey.
This is a very mysterious business.
Okay, they're gone.
Hurry up, Bud. Get the package out from behind the tree.
Well, give me a chance. I gotta get back in here.
Don't knock the tree over.
Well, hold it up.
You're knocking the icicles off.
Holy cow, this thing is big. Move the branch. I can't get out.
Got the package?
Yeah.
Let's take it in the den. Hurry up.
Well, give me a chance.
Gee, is Daddy gonna be surprised?
Open the door to the den, somebody.
I'll get it. Put it in the middle of the floor.
Are we gonna give it to him like that?
Oh, we can't give it to him in that cardboard carton. Grab some of those Christmas wrappings out of the drawer.
That's an awful big box.
We've got enough paper, I think. Hurry up, Bud. Get some stickers. Here, hold the paper on this corner.
That's gonna look swell.
Gosh, if we can just get this done before Father comes in. Fold the wrapping over at the end, Bud. Don't roll it up. Fold it.
I'm trying.
Hold your finger on this, Kathy.
Which one?
Your thumb.
I got this end fixed.
There. How's that?
Hey, pretty good.
That's the biggest, most beautifulest Christmas package anybody ever had.
Oh, Father will be delirious, simply delirious.
Let's get him in. I gotta see his face when he opens it.
Where's the card?
I have it right here. I wrote a little note from all of us.
Boy, is Dad gonna be happy. Hey, front door.
Mother and Father must be locked out. Don't open it yet. Take the package back in the living room. Put it by the tree. We all want to be in there when he sees it. Hurry up.
I'm hurrying.
Don't tear off the wrapping.
I'm not.
Are you ready, Bud?
Yeah, it's all set. Let him in.
Oh, this is going to be super, super. Okay, Father.
Hello, Betty.
Mrs. Phillips.
Mr. Phillips and I just got home.
But I thought you were going
We planned to stay until after New Year's, but the weather forecast said heavy snow, so we decided to get home while we could.
Who is it, Betty?
Oh, hello, Bud.
Mrs. Phillips. Yikes.
At least we got home in time to have our Christmas. While Mr. Phillips was putting the car away, I thought I'd run over and pick up the golf clubs.
Oh, yeah. Get the golf clubs, will you, Bud?
Yeah. Sure.
I suppose you all had a nice Christmas, hmm?
Yes, very nice.
I can't wait to see Mr. Phillips when he finds those clubs. He's always wanted them.
I know he'll love them.
Here you are, Mrs. Phillips.
Oh, you wrapped the box, and so beautifully.
Oh, thank you, Betty.
Oh, that's all right. Can you carry it?
I think so. Thanks again. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
What happened? Mrs. Phillips came after the club.
Now we've got nothing.
Well, kids, what's this? Another meeting?
Was somebody at the door?
Mrs. Phillips. She came after her package.
Well, why the long faces?
Tell him, Bud.
I can't. You tell him.
Well, let's go in the living room and find out what this is all about.
You kids look like you've lost your last friend.
Maybe we have.
Poor Daddy.
Now, what is all this?
Somebody's got to tell him sometime.
Well, we're dying, Father. Simply dying.
Oh?
We had a real nice present for you.
We were going to give you Mr. Phillips' golf club.
What's this? We were going to borrow that set that Mrs. Phillips left here and get another one tomorrow.
We had them all wrapped up and everything.
Then she came after them. We wanted to do something nice for you, Father. All we have left now is the card. Here.
Do you mean that you kids have been struggling around here all evening just to find a Christmas present for me?
Everybody else got nice things, Daddy, and you didn't get anything.
Oh, Kitten, I had a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah, necktie, nail file, and that Christmas card.
I feel dreadful, just dreadful.
Oh, now, Princess. Now, what's this on the card?
We wrote you a note.
What did it say, dear?
To Father, may this bring you much happiness and remind you how much all of us love you. Signed, Betty, Bud, and Kathy. Margaret, kids, come here where I can put my arms around you.
We're sorry, Father.
We tried, Dad.
You know something? All the golf clubs and briefcases and expensive presents in the world can't take the place of what you give from your heart. And this little Christmas card is the nicest gift of all.
One by one, the lights blink out in the white frame house on Maple Street. The children have gone to bed, and Jim and Margaret are alone in the living room, with just the lights of the tree and the pleasant quiet of this Christmas night.
Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you smiling?
Just thinking.
Oh?
About the kids.
One by one.
I'll never forget the expressions on their faces when you and I came in from outside. The world had come to an end.
Well, they wanted so much to give you something.
Yes. They're growing up, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I think tonight they discovered that there's more happiness in giving than in getting. You know, I think they really felt sorry for me.
I'm sure they did. Well, who's coming downstairs?
Hmm?
Daddy, I can't go to sleep.
Oh, come here, Angel.
You still up? What's going on?
Mother and I were just talking. Sit down, Bud.
It's getting late. Isn't anybody going to bed?
We were just looking at the tree, Betty.
It's been a nice Christmas, hasn't it?
Just perfect. I hope all our friends in the audience have had a happy day.
And that wish comes from all of us here, and from the post-serial family, too. We want to send each of you our very best wishes for the holiday season. To your family from ours, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And while it's still Christmas evening, let's join together in a prayer that this Christmas may bring us closer to peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Good night.
Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson. Until then, good night and good luck from the makers of Post 40% Bran Flakes, America's largest selling Bran Flakes, and Instant Postum, the drink that's entirely caffeine-free. In our cast were Dorothy Lovett as Margaret, Rhoda Williams, Ted Donaldson, Helen Strom, and Muriel Bremner.
Mom, I think you're beautiful.
Well, thank you, Johnny.
You're the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
Thank you, Johnny.
Mom?
Yes, Johnny?
Can I have wheat meal for breakfast tomorrow?
Sure. Make him happy, Mom, with the best hot cereal anywhere. Post wheat meal is packed full of solid nourishment, great for kids, and so wonderfully delicious. Post wheat meal cooks in just 3 minutes. Try rich, hot Post wheat meal with a picture of Roy Rogers on the package. Post wheat meal, the best hot cereal you ever ate.
Well, hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. Are you with us now, Joy Bells?
I am. I'm embarrassed, but I'm here.
Is your heart beating 90 miles an hour?
You almost gave me an aneurysm. I'm so sorry about that. I don't know why it never occurred to me. Is everybody here? Do you think everybody got the point that we were starting at 8?
I don't know. We got some people here, but anyway, it's kind of funny. The show that I had planned to play didn't play, and with all the traffic and everything, as I shared at the beginning of the show, we were running late getting in, and I had called Joy to see if she could go ahead and handle the board and sign everything in, and I had shared with her and put on Facebook that we were going to do a two-hour show for Christmas, but I didn't tell her what time it started. So while the Andersons were entertaining everybody with what was happening at their house, I called her on the phone, and I'm like, are you? What's wrong? Why aren't you on the show? Or so? What did I say?
Yeah. So what happened to you? And I was still cheerful at that point. Nothing. What happened to you? Because I thought I had 30 minutes. I was trying to get things wound up. I was getting into the spirit of saying whatever we needed to say for whoever was on the show. I had no idea I was 30 minutes late. And then you said that. I told you it was a two-hour show, and I'm like, I started hyperventilating.
It was funny. I called on the phone to let her know that we were going to be running late to get here, so, you know, could you please get it started? And like, yeah, you know, and you don't think
now
you're going to make it in time.
Now you can understand why I was like, oh, you'll be there before I have. Even if you're late, you won't be that late. And you said there were traffic. And you kept saying where you were at, and I thought, how could it be going to take over an hour? But okay.
That's funny.
Sorry.
But what you missed on this was the show that I had planned for us to listen to for the Christmas show was it didn't play. It started to give me something else when I clicked on the link for it. So we did the This Father Knows Best episode. And you know what? I think things sometimes happen for a good reason, because this really fits with our conversation we were having earlier today about stressing out over Christmas, worried about finances and not being able to buy gifts for people. And as you were talking about buying something for someone that they may not want and they got to exchange it or re-gift it to someone else. And it's all about, you brought this up, it's all about the relationships is really what it's supposed to be about anyway.
Yeah.
But when you got grandkids, kids are funny. You know, Brother Francis used to always say there's two things you don't do with kids. You don't make a promise to them that you're not going to be able to keep, and you don't break their toys. And another part of that is Christmas and birthdays, you always remember kids. You know, they want to know they got something. And I can remember getting gifts that were clothes or stuff like that, and you wanted to sound like you was really happy with it, but clothes was something when you're a kid you just kind of take for granted.
You know, clothes you know just appear in your closet.
Yeah, they just, that's right. That's not supposed to be a Christmas present. What's wrong with Santa Claus? Man, this is supposed to be something that just comes up and appears, just like the laundry fairy. You know, you drop it off and it shows back up clean. And it is so funny. And as I share what you missed at the beginning of this, is how we judge everything based on how it smells to us, how it tastes to us, how it looks to us, our perceptions, how we feel about something, what we think we have knowledge of about something. But the bottom line is we look at everything, it's all about us. And it's, what am I going to get for Christmas? And even when you're giving, are they going to love me less if I don't have the right present or something like that? And it's funny when you got grandkids, you go, it's like, well, are their parents going to approve, of what I've got them for Christmas or something like that? It's a real unusual thing. But I do want to encourage everyone to remember, and, as we go along and now people are saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas and all this, that there is a reason, or I can't even talk here, that,
there is a reason for the season.
Yes, sir. Hey, your Spanish is kicking in working good.
I'm bilingual.
Feliz Navidad.
But, yeah, the point, I didn't realize that it was your wrong show, but that show was perfect because what he cared about was that his kids cared that much. And as I tried to say to you earlier, anybody who doesn't get that point, this is your chance to teach them that. If they're going to love you more based on a present, then that's just silly. And if they're going to love you less based on a present, then that's super silly. They've got a choice. Yeah. They can either be silly or super silly. But
well,
you're the
thing
one,
that you brought up
that
I remember is,
care.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The thing you brought up that I remember is how soon we forgot who got what for us anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you do a couple, you'll have a couple of rich Christmases where you're rolling in the dough. And if you just show out on those Christmases, that's what they'll remember. My kids remember Daddy getting them Nintendo or some kind of system, game-playing system. And that was only 1 year, but that just manages to be what their memory of the whole thing is. But the fact that you've opened up your home to a couple of them, and you love them, and you're there for them, and this can be your teachable moment for your children to realize that they don't need to get caught up with competing with other parents or what other people are giving. And as I told you, everybody can watch a Walton's episode or a Little House on the Prairie episode if they want to be reminded. It's not really about all that stuff. Stuff is fun, and I've got nothing against stuff, but I hate debt, and I hate to see a loving person feeling stressed because of not having enough money, because that is the exact opposite of Christmas.
Yeah,
to me.
Exactly. One of the things I got to looking at on Christmas is it's not all about giving gifts anyway. I mean, it's not all about, we all look at something with Christmas. I got really tickled today. They did some kind of survey, and they were saying what was one of the things that you look forward to the most during the Christmas holidays, and it was being able to spend time with family. And they asked them what was one of their top 10 things that they hated about being around, that went on around the holidays. And it was funny, it was spending time with family. And I thought, wow, it made the top of both charts there.
That's funny. That's true, too.
It is funny. And I can relate to that because, I can remember the excitement and everything, and then, somebody didn't get what they wanted to get, or, if you was at some place where they were serving alcoholic beverages or something like that, you had that whole thing to contend with, and people's personalities, how it changes, and then also just different personalities. You got different people wanting to be in control, and it's just
family is such an interesting dynamic because you've known each other from the beginning, and you've got, I think I've shared with you before, there's a thing that says the reason your parents can push your buttons is because they installed them. But you've got that lifetime of things, and you might not see each other that often, especially see everybody together. So all of those things, that's also the thing that is so precious about family, though, because those things need to be dealt with and felt. And I'm already looking forward to next Thanksgiving, having everybody in the family here. We're already in preparation mode. That's how slow we are. We figured we better give ourselves a year if we were going to do it right.
How long is it going to be before you send out the cancellation notices? About July? No, I'm
hey, see, this is how family will do you. Is Blog Talk Mom on yet? Because we had a discussion today about whether or not Santa Claus is a Republican or a Democrat. I can't remember what we finally decided.
That is so funny. She hasn't raised her hand if she's on here yet. Are you not on the switchboard? You just on the phone calling in?
Yeah, I didn't go on the switchboard since I was in panic mode at that point anyway. I did go into the...
My hand just popped up here, so I'm on my oldest computer that I have that I had custom built back, I think, like 11 or 12 years ago, because I still hadn't fixed my other one. So every now and then, everything just kind of goes blank on me. But I got a hand raised here, and this is, man, I ain't got my glasses. I think it's 0887. So you're on the air.
That's Gam Gam.
That's your Blog Talk Mom. It's so good to hear
you. I can't believe I said
Gam
Gam. We're throwing in every nickname that there's ever been for you. That time I called you Gam Gam, but anyway. Josie, Blog Talk Mom, Sister Lively, hi.
That's right. And sometimes when I guess my blood sugar's low, I'll call people, and I don't know whether to say who I am. You know, Miss Lively, Sister Lively. Whatever, you know, but it is really odd. And one time I called, when people have a lot of different positions in your life, you don't really know sometimes what's the best thing at the time to call them. But it's good to hear y'all's voice. I'm so thankful for this program. It gives us an opportunity to connect. It's just exciting. Because, you know, really, through the years, when you have a family come over and they travel a long way and they haven't seen each other, sometimes everybody will leave and it seems like I didn't make banana pudding and eat banana pudding.
I'm taking that personally.
But, you know, the program gives us an opportunity to really share on a level that's very exciting. I'm thankful for the program. Thank you, Wild Bill.
I am too. Thank you, Wild Bill. I was just talking to Renee before Wild Bill called and asked me, and I failed miserably to start the show, about the, it's still a miracle to me, I know we've talked about it before, but we may have some new listeners, about how quickly Wild Bill had a vision for the show. It's still just so amazing to me, and it means that it was meant to be, because that very feeling that you just talked about, and as he's written on the thing that you're sitting around the table and you're talking to your family and you're having a real and meaningful conversation about real and meaningful things. The fact that he had that vision and he wants to share it with everyone, and which that's a good time for me to mention that if you are listening to the show, please press 1 because your Christmas present for Wild Bill could be that you actually talk on the show tonight. But I'm grateful for it. It has really, you're getting close to 2 years. In February, it'll be 2 years. You're becoming an old pro, Wild Bill.
Yeah, I listen to some of the old shows sometimes, and I'm like, wow, man, I can't believe, you know, the people listen to this. But the most of the feedback we get is people say how real that the show is, that they really appreciate that it's not staged, that it's not talking, just throwing information at them, that we do care to get another side to an issue, and that we try to be real with people, and we open it up to let people share, you know, what it is that they have to say. Sometimes people call in and they may have missed part of the show when they come up with something just totally in left field or something like that, and you know, I get comments from people like, man, they kind of missed the point, didn't they? But in my way of looking at things, they expand the point is what they're doing. They didn't miss the point because it's like a family, you know, sharing on it. It's just like the show that I had planned to play was a show that would have played for an hour. And I'm taking it that that show wasn't meant to play. It was a very entertaining show. But the other one I had here as a standby, like I say, I really felt like it fit the points of what I was really wanting to share as part of the program tonight. And speaking of the program tonight and everything, and y'all talking about Santa Claus being Republican or Democrat, what was the final verdict of that?
Well, we're talking about it, and I know the Republicans would like the fact that he doesn't just give toys willy-nilly. He gives them to the ones that are nice, not the ones that are naughty, because the Republicans on my Facebook are pretty upset by the notion of people getting food stamps and whatnot if they're naughty. So he'd like that, but I don't think he really holds to that, and so that makes him seem Democratic because he goes ahead and gives toys to everybody pretty much, doesn't he? What did we decide, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, we were in the middle of it, and I had another call that I had to take. But you can really see a lot of sides to humanity by looking at the Christmas season, because you've got Angel Tree and the in front of all of the stores. You see the Salvation Army people collecting money and. And, you know, you see that side of it where we're really benevolent and care for those that are less fortunate. And then you see the people racking in the money. I mean, this is a time of the year where I guess all of the retailers catch up on all of their sales, because I was at the store when Wild Bill called. This is funny also, because I thought – when you said it'd be 2 hours, I thought it would be 9 to 10 and 10 to 11.
Me too. And then when he called me and asked me to start the show, I thought he must be in a heck of a traffic jam. But okay, that I would do it.
Y'all do know I get up at 4 in the morning, right?
Okay, now start being smart alecky with us. You're the one that didn't say, by the way, these are the hours. I do want to say before we get too far off the subject that I know that we decided that the reindeer were Republicans because they wouldn't let Rudolph join in the reindeer games because of his nose. Go ahead.
No, I think that's funny.
Republican.
But, Mama, what were you going to say before we got off on that about the night? You thought it would be 9 to 11. I thought it would be 9 to 11, too. But, yeah, you're right, Wild Bill. This makes a lot more sense now that I'm actually thinking about it, but it just didn't dawn on me before. I want to tell you something was saying. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I planned this last week, and I was thinking that I was going to get – we had plans for us to go out and do our shopping yesterday and go out to eat. And so I had my mindset set up on that, and I was going to spend today doing what I normally do on Facebook, taking care of everything and, you know, getting it all set up to make sure everybody was aware and put the times out and everything. But then everything changed from yesterday because Starla makes some of the best peanut butter fudge you've ever tasted. And she makes that for the people that she works for during Christmas. And so, you know, she cleans people's houses. And so there's a lot of people she works for, and that means a lot of fudge. And she's tried doubling up on batches and things like that, and it just does not work. You just got to make it one batch at a time to make the flavor the way she wants it to be and the texture of it and everything. So anyway, all that changed, and I was telling her today about this, or yesterday I mentioned, she goes, well, why didn't you tell me before? I'm like, it just didn't come up. You know, we were going to be here Tuesday, and so it wasn't going to be an issue for, you know, and I'm the one that puts it together anyway. You just, you know, help support everything. And so, but it's a communication, you know, during the holidays with all the stress and everything, people should take time to think, okay, and like me, I got tickled, you know, with the whole thing. And like I say, Batman took driving lessons from Starla, because, I mean, she whipped down our driveway there. I'm surprised the car wasn't able to spin around face up the other way for us. She just threw me out of the car so I could get
thank
up there to the back
door. Thank
goodness
she did drive like that. Do you need me to go get on the board, by the way?
I can't do the chat room in this, too, because it keeps going up and down. So if you want to, you can.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
But in looking at this, it's funny that y'all mentioned politics, because when you read in the Bible about the story of Jesus, now one thing I want to be real clear about, I don't believe December 25th was Jesus' birthday, but we all know that he was born.
And he was a Democrat.
And you can read the story of Jesus. No, I'm not going to say that.
I'm kidding.
Because when you read the story of Jesus, when the star was, you know, sent for, you know, the people knew to follow the star. The angel came to, what was it, the shepherds in the field. And then there was the wise men who had knowledge of the scripture and knew. And they were looking for the newborn baby. And they went to the palace to go and speak to the leadership to find out, you know, where Jesus was, the Messiah, the Christ, the King of Kings, and he didn't know. You know, there, it wasn't like all of a sudden, okay, we're going to set this up to where we're involved with any politics at all, not Democrats, Republicans, Pharisees, Sadducees, Dumbasses, you know, not any of those things. It was, you know, politics was left out of it 100%. You know, to come from a virgin birth, and when you really think about what women go through even today in that country, for infidelity and things like that, and for Joseph, a young man, to look beyond what would be thought of him on the surface and to take this woman to be his bride. I mean, if you really stop and think about how that all came about, these were real people. These were not people that just all of a sudden, just like they didn't have problems, they didn't have issues, they didn't have to worry about what was being said about them, they didn't have to worry about the politics of the time. They had to deal with everything just like we do today. Although in this day and time, it's no big deal to have a child out of wedlock or whatever. You know, it seems like our moralities and our judgments of morals and what's right and wrong has got so skewed that, and I've talked about this before, you can take a graph and you can put a line across there that has to do with God's law, and then you could put moral law, excuse me, and you could put man's law, and at one point they were all pretty close together. But if you look at it, God's law hasn't changed. It's man's law and our morality code of law, how we look at things, that's gotten way away from the base of what that is. But when you really get to thinking about politics and you look at not just the birth of Jesus, but the life of Jesus, he never, ever got involved with politics at all. You never heard him on the Sermon on the Mount getting up there as he was sharing to the multitude what they needed to be aware of in their life, where we get the Beatitudes. He didn't say, vote for this party because they have the heart of God or they have the mind of God, or stay away from this party because they don't. And that's one of the things that just, and I know people get tired of me saying it, but I'm telling you that if our message is the same as that of the world's, then, and that's why I had the song playing that we played at the beginning of the show, because really the one thing that we have to share is the message, not a message of who we are, not a message even of our personal testimony, which I believe is powerful, but the message of God, the message that he came, that he robed himself in flesh, that he lived on this earth for, what was it, almost 33 years, and that he gave himself to be the sacrificial lamb that died on that cross, where he says, take your cross and follow me. When you get to Calvary, that's where we just lay it all down, and we give it all to him, and he puts his yoke upon us, which is light. He puts everything that if we lean on him to where it goes beyond our understanding, to where we have a hope where it seems like there is no hope, where when we really believe what we say we believe, and I know I say that a lot, that we get an understanding that we really don't have when we really don't. I mean, I can tell you right now, part of my stress with it being Christmas is that my income has dropped. But I know without a doubt there are certain things that you can grab hold of that you know that God put in place. I know without a doubt that God opened the door for me to get this job, and so that's easy for me to grab hold of. And in knowing that, I know that he is a provider, that when there's a way that seems like there is no way, that he can provide, that when it seems like that there's no door to go before you and you are at the dead end, all of a sudden you look and there's a door standing wide open that leads you up to a next level that's higher than where you were before. The things of God never brings you down lower. It always brings you up to a higher level. And that's one of the things about living for God that has to do with perception. You hear people talking, well, I don't want to have to do this, and I don't want to have to do that. And, you know, I don't know, or my biggie is understanding, you know, why. Lord, why did you let this happen? You know, I look around this year, and I look at the family members that are missing, and I know that many people have those same things that they're doing, and they wish they had just one more moment to be with that family member that they had here, and it's just not going to happen. The reality of this world is that we have a life we live, we have no promise of how much time we have or anything, and then it's over. This phase of who we are is over. And then there's that new life experience, the soul that lives forever, that's either going to meet the qualifications. And I guess qualifications is not the right word. It's going to be souls that accepted the gift of what God gave to us and follow along in the precepts of his love and developing a relationship with him that's going to be able to be with him. And there's going to be those that didn't that's going to hear the message, depart from me, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. And they're going to be going to a Satan's hell that wasn't even meant for us to go to. So, you know, we have our options here, what we can do and what we're not supposed to do. And there's an accountability. And it's the same thing, and I love what Joy said. You talk about accountability. You pull out them credit cards and you buy a bunch of stuff for Christmas that nobody really cares about, and you can see it on their face come Christmas. January the 1st, them credit card bills come in, don't they, Joy?
Yes, they do. It's the power of
and
Satan.
And February the 1st and March the 1st.
I'm a firm believer in getting rid of your credit cards. You know, we talk a lot on this show. One of your themes is about being real, being authentic. And there's nothing authentic about buying something you can't afford. You have to think
That's
about
true.
Why
about
is it
that
I'm doing this? Why am I buying something that I can't afford? Your grandma and mine was very, very fond of saying, if you can't afford it now, you can't afford it next month with interest.
That's good.
It is good. I remember,
good.
Do y'all remember that old Popeye thing where he said, where the little one character would say, I'll gladly pray you Tuesday. Well, I can speak. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. It always seems like somehow you're going to have this money down the road, but I think it's a very good concept to think about, why am I buying this when I can't afford it? The truth is, I can't afford it. So are you trying to present that you can afford more than you can, that you have more money? That's the beautiful thing about the economy being so bad. Everyone can relate to not having any money. So it's a good time to just step up and be honest. And it seems like a lot of people are. I've seen a lot of toned-down Christmases this year, except for Gam Gam. She's going all out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you say that, but someone sent me a gift card for my birthday, and I used it for a restaurant. And it was one of those things on the Internet where they send you a thing, and then you got to pick where you want it to be. And
ooh,
it only
cool.
had choices of, like, restaurants. It wasn't stores you could shop at. And so I can't even think of the name of the place right now, but it's not a very cheap place to go eat. And the place was packed. And around the mall, it is worse this year than I've seen it in the last 2 or 3 years.
I bet you don't
desperate.
Usually go Christmas week.
Well, I pass by it all the time, you know, going back and forth
yeah,
to work.
Yeah.
And by, I mean, the other day it took me 3 hours to get from Nashville, Tennessee to Franklin on Friday night because of all the people trying to get to the mall. It was backed up that far from the
That's
ramp.
What I thought you were trying to say tonight.
You was wrong, but I didn't communicate very well.
You
I love
didn't
what
have
y'all brought up, too. Go ahead.
You didn't know that you weren't communicating. You thought it was obvious.
Well, I called Mom, let her know we were going to have a 2-hour show, and she's like, tonight? Really? I got to go home. And I was like, you know, and then I thought, did I tell her it was going to be at 8? Or did I just tell her it was a 2-hour show?
Well,
I was wondering about that.
Obviously, because she did show up at the right time, I guess. I'm the only one that really got confused. I do want to say, if you don't mind, real quick, because we've turned over into the hour, and if some people came into the show at 9 and found us in full swing, that's because Wild Bill did a 2-hour Christmas party for tonight, and we've listened to Father's Knows Best show, and now we're talking about what Christmas means, and we would love to hear from you. If you're listening on the computer, you can join me in the chat room, or you can change your mind and call in at 718-664-6129 and press 1. Those that are already listening by phone, you decide you want to join in, then press 1. Now, go ahead, Wild Bill.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you did that. I wanted to make sure and watch for the time on that. And then, like I say, his computer is going black, totally nothing on the screen, and no people's numbers called in or nothing. And then it's
Don't worry about
again.
It. I've
so,
got it up now.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, I got you back now. But it seemed like we're acting awful silly. We had this all planned out in my mind, and nobody else knew about it, how our two-hour show was going to start at 8 o'clock. And so I was thinking the military people would get a surprise because they always listen to it later, that they'd have a longer show to listen to. And we've been kind of a little bit silly, you know, off and on about this, but that's kind of, this is the silly season. You know, if there's not a time that you can look at things lighthearted when you, you know, make a plan and you don't remember to share it with everybody else, then you ask them to take part in it. And you can assume things and you can think that you're right and you're wrong. I tell you what, I do want to do something later. I want to play another song.
Uh-huh.
And then I want to come back and I want us to take a look at this from an area that was mentioned just a little bit, although I just looked and when my computer had went blank, I had this thing highlighted and was sitting right at the song. This is so fun.
Let's see if I can find it.
Oh, I got it right here.
All right.
Christmas song here, and But the reason I play that has a little bit to do with where I'm planning on going next with the show. And Blog Talk Mom kind of mentioned a little bit about Angel Tree and some of the things like that that's been, you know, that the stores have and the people out there ringing the bells with the kettles that's working with the Salvation Army or the rescue missions and things like that. And it's funny, this is a time of year to where all of a sudden people look at things different. You know, we talk about, you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. As long as they're not between you and that last toy on the shelf that you're wanting to get, or they're not holding up your traffic in the lane where you're wanting to go. I mean, I don't know about where you live, but I mean, the traffic is just, it's just unreal, some of the things that people do. I mean, we witnessed tonight people that were looking strictly to their right, and they were crossing two lanes of traffic to their left and never looked and pulled out right in front of cars because they were looking at the first time they could get in those other lanes, that's where they were going. And everybody else just better watch them and stop. And it's just so much distraction and everything that's going on. But this time of year, we have this thing to where, okay, it's kind of the fashionable thing to be charitable. And the thought that kept going through my mind today, and this is really funny, I have different times to where I sort of feel like I'm zoned in on memories that has to do with family. And today I was thinking about Dad. And I don't know much of the circumstances about it because I wasn't very old, but Dad just brought some homeless guy home to eat dinner with us. And I mean, but I was thinking, like, wow, you know, if there ever was somebody that needed something like that, and I was telling Starla tonight, you know, no matter how poor you are, you're gonna have something to eat. And we didn't just give them a canned good or go to their rescue mission where they were. This person was allowed to be part of a family to sit down and have a meal. Now, the one thing for people that's thinking about this, I would encourage you, warn your children ahead of time. Because I don't know how you looked at this, Joy Bells, but I was scared to death.
He had a huge growth on his nose. Remember?
Yeah. But that wasn't the only time Dad did that. He had done that before. But that was the one that really sticks out. And yeah, so I remind, you know, I'd like to tell everybody, you know, kind of, you know, literally, if you're going to do that around your children, you know, let's kind of have some sit down. It's kind of like the communication with the radio show thing tonight. It would be very good to sit down and make sure everybody's on the same page and we're doing this really good thing instead of the kids looking horrified and sitting there staring at the growth on the person and wondering about how they smell and everything, and they're at their table. I don't even think you had any warning, did you, Mom?
Absolutely not. I had no warning. And your dad deposits the man at the end of the table and then goes out to work in the field.
And, he had to do his chores, and there you were. I have a story like that where I pass homeless people all the time. There was something about this specific homeless person that just killed me, and I didn't have very much money at the time myself, and he was very old. Anyway, I said, I don't have any money, but I can take you home and make a sandwich. And he said, oh, I'd really appreciate that. So he gets in the car, and I'm thinking, and I think I told the man even, that he would be able to take a shower and things like that. I got home, and Afshin was very far from the same page that I was on. He didn't see anything lovable about the man at all. We lived in apartments at the time, and he made me make he would not let the man come in the house. I had to let the man sit on the stairs of our apartment complex, and I fed him a sandwich and some milk. But that makes Afshin seem bad. He's a really wonderful person, but he just was not getting that at all. But
well, that's what I'm saying. The communication of that is really important during that time. But
you can't
assume. When you look at, when you look at being what we claim to be a Christian, you know, which is to be Christ-like and everything, you know, and we kind of hit on it before, he wasn't really into politics, but he went to people that had needs. And when he left, their needs were satisfied. And we're not Jesus. We can't do everything the way he did. But are we at least trying to do things? Do we have that mindset? You know, is it, I know today that every store we went into, the people were outside with the bells, and they were for the rescue mission. And I heard a show on our local gospel station the other day that the rescue mission has changed. It's not a bunch of winos that hang around on the streets that have to go in and listen to a Christian message to get a meal and a place to sleep. They got women in there with no husbands, with like three or four children, that because of the economy and their jobs being gone and everything and not being able to get into something else, that that's where they're staying with their children, is at the rescue mission. And, you know, they're sleeping out in their cars, and but because of the weather, you know, they're going into the rescue mission. And so the dynamic of who needs help has changed a little bit with, you know, I think Jesus worded it best when he said, the poor you will always have. And I think it has to do with, there are some people that just have a mindset, if you gave them $1 million, they're going to be poor tomorrow. You know, that's just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just some people, they have no concept of taking care of themselves at all. You know, it's here today, gone tomorrow is just something, it's just a way of life for them. There is no future
Although
for anything
I do want,
different.
And I've been arguing with a lot of Republicans on this subject because I do want them to be taken care of too. And a shout out for the winos, like that homeless guy that I brought home. He said that his brother left him for his brother, and he decided, I'm just going to go drink myself to death. And that was 40 years ago. Like, he can't drink himself to death. It's not working out. He's trying to drink himself to death, but he's stronger than he thought, which is silly. But even people who are addicts, one thing that I do want to say, a lot of the people that just get marginalized as being drug addicts, and I know that's not what you meant, because I've talked to you before, we've talked about this subject, but a lot of them are veterans, especially Vietnam veterans. A lot of the crazy people that you can easily just say, well, hey, he's obviously on drugs or he's got some kind of problem. There's some reason why somebody's on the street, and I want food and a warm bed for everyone. Now go ahead. Sorry.
No, I agree with you. The problem we have is, and it's really hard because we do hear the stories like in Nashville where there was a guy that drove into Nashville every day, stood on the corner and was begging for money, and then he would walk three or four blocks over and take off his nasty clothes, put them in the trunk, put on his fancy jogging suit and drove in his BMW to one of the fancy houses in Brentwood, and they got to looking, this man was making over $300,000 a year begging on the corner, and how they found out was somebody tried to take his corner and he stabbed him.
Why I think Ash has such a bad feeling about it, because, you know, he used to work at BP when we first met, and there was a hotel right beside it, and those people came in, and he was seeing those people come in, and the lifestyle they were living we couldn't afford. We were struggling very hard to do what we needed to do, and the fact that they were acting poor, so now he just thinks that everybody. But I think that if your intention is good and you're helping somebody, then it'll work out. Even if they are trying to rip you off, somehow it'll come around to some kind of good. Your friend and mine, Renee, we were talking today, and she was telling me that her stepdaughter has just had a baby. She's got her first grandbaby, and she's in love with it. Well, the girl was at the store, and somehow there's some kind of something that they do with the so that people won't sell their food stamps for baby formula. They won't give them but a few at a time, and then you have to go in at a certain time to get the next one. Well, she was out, and she was coming in to get the next one, and it wasn't quite time yet. So they were telling her she had to come in 2 hours later. And the man behind her said, it's Christmas, it's for a baby, let me just take care of it, and paid $60 and bought the four big things of baby formula. Yeah, and so Renee is extremely, it fired her up that we all think, with the exception of Blog Talk Mom, because she definitely has found her way and gives a lot. But a lot of us think, oh, there's got to be some big thing that we're going to do. Someday we're going to do something. But we can just take a little step. So she challenged me, Renee challenged me, and the two of us, that's going to be what we do in 2011. Every time we talk to each other, we're going to have something to share with each other of how we've paid it forward. You've heard that concept of paying it forward. You know, you don't have to pay me back. Just pay it forward. Do something nice for someone that you see because of all the wonderful gifts that you've been given. Instead of trying to figure out how to pay it back, just pay it forward. So the both of us are going to be on the lookout before we talk again next week for some way that we can pay it forward. And I'm really excited about that. And it seems to go really along with the song you played and what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's so much. We look at all the things we can't do. You know, we can't take care of one person, can't just write a check to take care of the national debt. You know, we can't go in and change the world. But we've talked about this, I don't know how many times, about putting the man in the mirror being ourselves. The one person that we can consistently change for the better is ourselves. The more we look at things as that we're in this world to be a part of it, to help other people and to be a part of the message of Christ and to be a light for those that are in darkness, when we look at things in that concept and we really start applying it, it's amazing how it changes things within who we are. You know,
yeah.
And then, like, you know, it's very hard to make that first step to do it. We were sitting there today, and I was looking at all the money that was being spent in this restaurant. And, of course, where we live, there's not a lot of homeless people and a lot of people in need, but there's people in need all over the place. And, you know, Roadway did the Christmas for Kids, and Dad was out there washing cars, you know, to help raise money so that the kids could have a shopping spree, and they served them breakfast that morning for them and their families. And, you know, part of the things that all the kids got free was a coat. You know, that wasn't, you know, something they had to worry about, you know, taking the money that was given to them to buy whatever they wanted for a toy. That wasn't part of it. Everyone had a coat. You know, there's just
and I
want to
say something about, of course, where you live, there aren't any homeless people. Because I live in a nice place, too. Austin's the best of all the states, but don't move here. I mean, the best of all the cities. But we have a lot of homeless people. And I don't remember who it was, but Afshin was in love with some governor that came to Nashville because there used to be a huge homeless problem. And then they all went away, and we used to say, what did he do with them? Gather them all up and shoot them? But when we moved here, we realized, no, he gave them all a ticket to Austin. They're all here. Go ahead.
That's not what happened. Shame on you.
Well, what
no,
did he do
I
with
mean,
them?
There
he promised he was
going to
take care of
Tennessee.
The homeless problem, and you don't see any homeless people in Austin, in Nashville anymore.
Well,
anyway,
part of that was
totally
because they went into work, several of the inner-city churches, he got together with them, and they came up with a shelter program, teaching programs. They took girls that had, you know, moved into the area, young teenagers and things, that were having to survive being prostitutes on the street. And they went in and put a stop to they didn't just, well, I say they put a stop to it. What they did was they offered them a place to stay, and they taught them skills. They helped them. They worked these churches still on helping them get jobs to get away from that. They taught, you know, then they made it possible for them to have a way out to where they could have self-respect. Nobody looks in the newspaper and says, wow, I want to be a prostitute. Nobody looks in the paper and says, I want to be a drug addict, or I want to be an alcoholic, or, you know, I just want to be a bum. You know, you don't see anybody scanning the paper looking for those positions. It's one of those things that it has to do maybe with hopelessness. Maybe it has to do with, like you were talking about this man, you know, he wanted to drink himself to death, feeling like nobody loves you, nobody cares, I'm not worth anything. You know, some of those lies that Satan tells you about, you know, life's not worth living, end it all. You know, go ahead and kill yourself. You know, he has one thing in mind, that's to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's very good at planting those things in your mind. And there are some people that have mental illness and things that, you know, they need help. They need specialized people with training to go in there and help them work through their problems. And I know who the governor was you're talking about, and his name has totally slipped my mind right
mine
now.
Mine too.
But that was one of the things that the inner city churches got with him. And they came up with some programs, and, I mean, they really, really worked. Not to mention that they took the police departments in Nashville, started putting those substations out in areas, and they doubled the foot patrols and the bicycle patrols around downtown Nashville. And so, you know, it's just a matter of you get caught on the street in Nashville drinking, you're going to jail.
It didn't take very long for it to clear things up. This seems like a good time. Is your mic still open, Blog Talk Mom?
I imagine. Is it?
Because this seems like a good time for you to talk about what's near and dear to your heart with your ministry.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, I do appreciate everything y'all have said. It's very mature, and there's a depth to you must be my children or something. if I were to say any one point, And because we have been very fortunate to take gifts to what was 26 and now is 30-something, there's an organization called the WOE, Women Hearing, Obeying, in Action. And when they first saw that I was doing the work there that the Lord had called me to do in that Cutter Park, they came and offered to pay the electric bill, and then they helped sponsor taking a little trailer and just turning it into, it was bad, and fixing it up. And then they have brought these gifts to me. They're already wrapped. They have the children's names. They have their sizes. And I was able to take those and deliver them at different times, still have some to deliver. And
there's
another organization. Yeah, another organization that called me. We were short because there was a lot of new people that had moved into that area. And Sister Kaiser went over and loaded the car down with all kinds of toys and things that they could play with. And that's wonderful. You know, I think that's all well and good. But there's a crisis in our land of the home, not the house, but the home. And there was an article in a book called Choices, and it talks about a man and woman that just got out of their blazing home, and they're outside, and I think they have six of their children or five, and they realized there was one still inside, but there was no way possibly that they could get in without just perishing with the child. And all of a sudden they saw the little boy up, and he had, just as the fire got worse, he went up to the very top of the house, and he was just at the window. And these men ran and became a human ladder, and their clothes were already beginning to smoke. But they grabbed that child, and they pulled him down to safety, and his name was John Wesley. We never know when we go into a situation that one child, I'm not saying that we don't want to help every child, but there's, God has spoken specifically to my heart that there's that one that is going to respond. You know, I don't mean to sound negative, and I when I say what I'm about to say, people always want to console me. I'm not meaning this to be negative, but you look at the greatest gift that was ever given was Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth. There was no greater ever than the gift of Almighty God clothing himself in flesh, walking among us, surrendering his life, and they yelled, "Crucify him!" That was the man that had fed 15,000 of them in the middle of a desert, had open blinded eyes, had took those with leprosy and put their limbs back together, and yet they yelled, "Crucify!" And I just see that mentality. You know, when I go in the trenches and I go to these people and you give to them and you give to them, and yet you don't give enough, no matter what you give, it's not enough. And they look at you and their eyes, I don't know. To me, what I'm trying to say is, Christians, get on your face before God. Cry out to God. Go into these areas. Teach Bible studies. Hold them. I went into one area today where a family split three different ways involving six or eight different children, and there they're running around without any shoes on, and you just want to grab them and hold them and tell them it's going to be all right. But it's not going to be all right because daddy's a drug addict and mother's running around sleeping with half of the other men in the trailer park. But we've got to get serious, as Wild Bill was saying. We've got to cry out to God. We can't just put a Band-Aid on this. It is a cancer. The home is going up in flames, and we must reach out like we never have before to be the arms and the hands and the feet of Almighty God, because that's what he said he had left his church here to be. Now, I didn't mean to say so much.
I agree 100%. I really appreciate you saying that, because certain things you can do, and that's why I was talking about, you could give someone $1 million and tomorrow they'll be broke, and they'll look at you like, okay, what are you going to give me next? What have you done for me lately? You know, there is no way to satisfy the certain mentality that goes along with that, because money is not what satisfies. The gifts is not what satisfies. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do things to try to get people off the streets, But that's one of the things that I was talking with Starla about, to bring them into your home where they can see. I mean, the people where I work can see something different with me. The people where my wife goes, they can see there's something different with her. So can you imagine if you take someone like that and bring them into your house and maybe not just feed them a meal or give them a coat, but while you're there, you know, have some gospel music playing. Ask them if they know who Jesus is. Offer them a chance to pray with you while they're in your home. There are certain things you can do that you could, is superficial. Yeah, it takes care of a need for now, but what about tomorrow? What is the ache inside of them? What has caused them to have the disturbance in their soul that can't be satisfied to where they have to be living on the streets? There's something behind all of that that puts them there. And I do agree, like Joy Bell said, that there's, you know, we didn't know about PTSD. And when the people of Vietnam, they came back and they were spat upon and, you know, and treated us, you know, so bad. But, you know, it's just so simple in this day and time. You want to look for things to help, and maybe you're a person that's a little bit backward or something, and we can let people offer suggestions into this. You can go up to your local National Guard armory where those people are being, where they're deployed, and you can find out the boys or women that don't have family. And maybe you could send them a Bible. Maybe you could send them your church services on tape. While you're doing that, you can send them some candy that you make at home, some of the things they need over, like wet ones or something like that. Start corresponding with someone over there that feels like they're lost and away from home. That's something right there you could reach out and do. There again, you know, you could go into your rescue mission. You could find those people there. And, you know, there's, you know, Keith Green was a very unusual man from back in the 70s. He had a talent that was second to none. He wrote songs that brought things like this to light for people to see. You know, where I got to think, I actually got it on the show here, I could play it. We talked about being asleep in the light, where you say, God bless you, be at peace. You know, but that's it. We don't try to do anything to supply the need. And when we don't realize there is a spiritual warfare going on for the souls of mankind, and if we've never lived in an hour that it has been so dark. And sometimes I look at this, I'm like, is it because I'm older? Am I more aware? And maybe it's like that with every generation, and God planned it that way for us to, as time seems like it goes by faster, for us to be more aware. Or is things really gotten that much worse? And I really took time yesterday to stop and take a look at it. And I can tell you that things have definitely gotten that much worse. There's still people buying and selling with the Christmas holidays. There are still people out there looking to have a good time. There are still people having to deal with going to work, paying their bills, the day-to-day grind of living and everything. But as things go in this world, it has definitely gotten worse. If you look at just how you take the things of God and how it's under attack from things in our government, from things in the way we live, from things of what you see on the streets, the church is under attack. It's not one of those things to where, you know, it talks about this lifestyle and that lifestyle, so to speak, and everything. And I'll give you an example. Right here in Nashville, Tennessee, there's a Christian university called Bell Meade University. And I think that's the name of it. And they had a woman that's been their soccer coach, came to them and told them that she was living with another woman. They were about to get a child, and they fired her. And all the people on the streets became in an uproar. Your message is hate. You know, it's supposed to be love. God said love and all this. And they're like, you know, you can't do that. And they said, we didn't fire her because of her sexuality. We fired her because of our morals clause, because she's having a child out of wedlock. And so with all that being said, why can't a church just stand up and say, we don't agree? We don't agree with the sin of what's going on here. We don't want a teacher to be involved in teaching our students that has this lifestyle. But the bottom part of that just blew my mind was, and there again, you want to talk politics, our Republican governor and mayor decided that because of this, that they're actually going to go in and try to help write a law for Tennessee to where that you cannot hire and fire someone based on their sexual preference.
But you can, like, if you're a religious organization, separation of church and state. The church should be able. Go ahead.
You would think that, but, you know, that's not the way the things are going. It's not separation of church and state. And, if you know, they like to throw that out there. But what we've done here is it's gotten to where there's separation of rights. If you want to look at the rights of the people, the church is losing its rights to stand up and be separate.
But
and
part of it is because they're annoyingly ignorant. They get played. Christians keep on fighting that we don't want separation of church and state, and they don't realize it's going to backfire, that who it's going to be against is them. They do want separation of church and state. They should stand up and say, hey, separation of church and state, you are the state. You can't tell me what I believe or don't believe ever on any subject.
Yeah, but the problem is that you can't say it. They've got attorneys that was talking on in the local news about what's going on there, and it's very clear because, see, we have this new constitutional law that's been added to our books, this federal law called hate crimes. And so it's just unreal. It's just a decline.
Well, hate crimes, you're not for hate crimes, though. Hate crimes is bad.
No, but that's not the same thing as separation of church and state.
But
you know, what we've done here is the younger people looking at this as being progressive. You know, we're progressive. You know, we're all for whatever you want to do. If it feels good, do it. You know,
but
you shouldn't be able to stand up
not
against it.
Church. I mean, it sounds like I'm arguing
that,
with you, but I'm just saying that.
No, but the problem is that the church is losing its rights in this battle. You can stand up there in the schools and you can wear something that has to do with Muslim or Hindu or something like that. And nothing said. And we've had issue with our public schools with kids wearing things that were Christian, that had scripture and stuff on it, and being told not to wear it anymore.
I think these are isolated, situations that we hear sometime that I personally think, I mean, there may be a lot of truth to it. I guess obviously it is, but it seems to be things said to stir people to hate each other and to be suspicious.
Oh, that's
other.
Good.
And
that's good to get
like
us distracted. Yeah.
From the real thing, if I have a second, I don't know how much time you have, I've got a paragraph that I could read to you that you might goes along with this a little bit.
Okay.
It was in a book, Index of Leading Cultural Indicators, and it was written by William Bennett, former Secretary of the Education and Chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities, and this is his statistical picture of a 30-year experiment from 1960 to 1990. He said, our nation tripled in gross domestic product and increased its governmental social spending. That's talking about all of these different groups that help out fivefold. It increased fivefold in 30 years. On education, it increased 225%, while our allotment to welfare was upped an astounding 630%. But what did this profit? In the same 30-year period, SAT scores plunged 80 points, while teenage suicides rose 200%. Violent crime soared 560%. Illegitimate births leaped 400%, and children in single-parent households tripled, and divorce rates quadrupled. And the point is, this is a spiritual, absolute spiritual verdict that we've got to come to. It's not going to be one in a courtroom or with different factions fighting each other. NAACP came out. All that seemed to me like they really were not trying to help black people as much as get black people to hate everybody. I mean, you know, it's we have to be careful what information we put out to people, because then we're in the loop. You know what I mean?
Renee and I today, because Renee's been watching some shows that are all about Jesse Ventura uncovering all these conspiracies, which is the exact flip side of me, because I'm all President Obama is everything good and wonderful, and we should pray for him, and George Bush was doing the best he could, which is a very weird, you know, line of thought compared to most people. She's the exact opposite. Government's bad, and it's all a big, huge conspiracy. And then we were realizing that the reason that we could actually bond is because both of us are outside the rhetoric of what's being spoon-fed through the media, and it does seem like the point of it is to just keep people in this constant uproar of meaningless discussion while the people who are doing whatever they're doing are doing whatever they're doing. We're
well,
all
one
yeah,
right
it's a message
another.
Of fear. Yeah.
Pardon?
It's a message of fear. It's a message of hate. It's a message of hopelessness. And that's what
yeah.
I keep trying to say with other people in church, trying to push all these things that has to do with politics. There is a truth in there somewhere in some of the rhetoric that's being said and some of the things that's being done. But we will never hear what it is. We'll never get the whole truth of what's going on. The game of politics, we think we can understand. We don't have a clue. We're not the ones
exactly.
up there on Capitol Hill negotiating, giving up something to get something else, and you know, something having
exactly.
to be watered down and planned. And that's why, and I love what Blog Talk Mom said, the way we're going to win this battle is on our knees. Not looking for someone else to find a place to pray, not looking for someone else to intercede for our country, but it's going to be an individual sitting there getting into God's Word and realizing, okay, there's the things of God and there's the things of man. I can't control the things of man, but God can control the things of man. The Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, nothing is going to be hid from Him. He's going to know the heart. He's going to know the deceit. He's going to know the direction. And as I've said before, it's God that sets kings on thrones and God that takes kings down. And it's God that if we turn to Him, we'll heal our lands, that will heal this country. But, and I was sharing this with Blog Talk Mom, it's just like I've heard many people say that you can change the mind of God. But I'm here to tell you that the principles and the laws and the things of God, that what's sin and what's not sin, those are not what you're going to change. You're not going to make a deal with God and like, Lord, I got a problem with this right here, and I'm not going to be able to quit. And He's going to say, okay, well, for you, that's not sin.
Yeah,
it's just
mean.
Not going to happen that way. It's either right or wrong. It's either heaven or hell. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. No, you know, ho, ho, ho. You know, I gave $1,000 to the homeless during Christmas. It's not going to be those things. It's the putting ourselves in to say, okay, I'm willing to stand in the gap. Lord, where do you want me to be? And the only way we can do that is if we are willing to let God change who we are and to mold us into being a vessel that can be used. And to do that means that there's an accountability, and to do that means that there's a responsibility. He don't want us to be just hearers of the word. He don't want us just to know the word. He wants us to be doers of the word. It's that faith with works that gets things done. And it's not that we work enough that we earn our salvation. And sometimes we get hung up in that trap. He paid the price for our salvation. That's done. All we got to do is say, yes, sir, we want to come aboard. What do I got to do? And where do you want me to sit? And, what you know, it's just a matter of coming on board. And we have this beautiful thing called the Bible that lets us see the failings of people, and God took those same people and did fantastic works with their lives because they were willing to say yes, that they wanted to be moldable. Yes, they were willing to go out and be a light to shine out to people. It didn't have anything to do with it being popular because it's Christmas. They did it year-round. And with the speculation and of, you know, hey, if I do something to offend the wrong people, I can be boiled in oil. You know, I can be stoned. You know, I can be, you know, put in prison after being beaten. You know, those are things in this country that we have no concept of because of freedom of religion right now. But the way things are going, I just wonder how superficial our freedoms of religion really are right now. How soon is it going to be before they say, okay, yeah, you're going to have to change your practices. You can't refuse to marry people of same-sex gender because of your faith, because that's a hate crime. Maybe it won't happen in my lifetime. Maybe it never will. But I can see where some people are concerned that are pastors and churches and things about not wanting to put too much of themselves out there for public, wondering if all of a sudden the government's going to come back on them, and, or maybe some organization like the NAACP or something like that to target them. You know, it's
well,
strange this woman has been teaching at this university.
Mom was saying about that being kind of a thing, if it's any consolation, because, you know, I'm pretty liberal, and the liberal people understand that concept, and they will get on the side. It's almost like everybody's got to say the right words or something for people to understand where it's coming from. But at any rate, on the side of religion being able to believe whatever it is they want to believe. I'm sure that there are plenty of people who do want to do that, but I remember on a very liberal show that I was watching, and I'm blanking out right now on what country it was, but there was actually a man in prison because he wouldn't marry two gay people. And the liberal people on the show were just absolutely incensed at that.
Here in Tennessee, our Republican leadership is hammering the laws being changed with the military on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because they're talking about that being way too liberal. But I'm telling you, the leadership here in Tennessee, and the people took to the streets. I mean, they covered that university all the way around there. A lot of them came from the university, and some of them came from, you know, Vanderbilt. The Belmont's right there at, you know, that same area where Vanderbilt and everything is. The streets were full of people. They actually blocked the traffic because they were protesting. And here our Republican leadership in the state of Tennessee stood up and we're going to look at changing the law, reverse it, you know, having to do with hiring and firing. And they were talking about this instance with a Christian school that they didn't have the right to do that.
And they're not even liberal.
Because,
they're Republicans,
So, I mean, they say one thing, but there's a thing that's going around here called mob mentality, that all of a sudden everybody gets upset because one person has been abused in the system, and everybody wants to run to their rescue. And I've seen that on a lot of things before. You can see it even if you got kids involved in sports. You think one kid's getting picked on or something like that, and something being done unfair, and the parents mention it to everybody, you watch and see if that's a popular parent and a popular kid. Watch what happens with that coach. Watch what happens with the school. I've seen it to where, I mean, the emails are coming. You got hundreds of people calling the school and everything, and next thing you know, that coach is either gone or he's being caught up on the carpet and things are changed. And it's just, it's that, I don't know what it is. You know, in law enforcement, we call it mob mentality, to where people get all stirred up over something. They really don't know all the facts, but it strikes their emotions.
But are you, back to what Blog Talk Mom, say what you said last time he said this. Do you remember?
No.
It was kind of about the subject of, we're kind of getting into getting all fired up. I understand what you're saying, because you don't want to just be blind and just watch your rights slip by. But on the other hand, you could be kind of being a tool in this thing where we're trying to get people all fired up on one side or the other. I don't know which way I feel, but I will again reiterate that the true liberals will back you up to the wire for being able to believe what you believe and not being forced to do something that you don't want to do.
I think that we're hearing that, but I think the message is, when it gets down to specifics, is being lost. And but
that's
the bottom
because
line
of all
is,
this stirring up that Blog Talk Mom was talking about, all that stoking everybody and getting everybody screaming. And like you say, mob mentality, everybody's just mindlessly screaming because they get to believing that they're fighting for something that is so right and that it just doesn't even matter. The other side's not even human because they're just so evil. And that's not true. We're all doing the best we can.
No, but the bottom line was, is all of a sudden our political leaders here in Tennessee are looking to change the laws because of it.
That's because they're
not
liberal.
I don't know if they will or won't be able to do that. But, you know, that's something that, you know, the mayor and the governor is looking to do. And I was like, wow, I cannot, because they just came out just so hot against Obama and some of these things that's going on with the military on this last study and everything on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
And
I do agree with
your
saying that we can't go, you know, if we're sitting there arguing about them saying something to the left and we're going to the right, we're still debating the same conversation. I understand what Blog Talk Mom is saying there. And this is part of what I said all along with politics having to do with people of faith. Our message shouldn't be the left or the right. Just for this radio show, you know, I just want people to be aware. But the same thing that Blog Talk Mom said is, it is a spiritual warfare. It's not something we're going to be able to win in the courts, left or right. You know,
spiritual solution
tomorrow,
to every problem. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they changed all the laws tomorrow, are we going to quit going to church and worshiping God? No. You know, you like to think, though, if they tell us that our children are going to be taken out and fed to lions tomorrow if we don't quit serving God, wow, you know.
But it is important, I think, that you get the message out to the fundamentalist Christians that they need to really support the separation of church and state.
That's a good
thing. Well, a lot of people don't really look at the history of separation of church and state. It had to do with, back when it all started, was the Catholic Church was, they were the educated people, and they were the people in power. They, you know, they supported the leadership of the countries, and, you know, that's
how a lot
of things like
Christmas. And you didn't want the Catholics to be the one, exactly.
Right.
You didn't want, there needs to be a separation of church and state either way. I don't want religion to be in charge of state things, and I don't want the state to be in charge of religion. It's an excellent thing. There's nothing ugly about it.
Well, it's like gay marriage. I don't have a problem with what these people want to do with themselves and what kind of relationships they have and everything, and it has no bearing on me at all. But marriage was, the reason it's called holy matrimony was this was something that was established through the church. Why don't they do something of their own? Why do they have to take something that the church has and try to make it their own? But there again, that's not really a Christmas conversation, and that is something we can try to come back on later. And we're getting down towards the end here. I can't believe nobody's had any other comments they wanted to share. I think we've lost a few callers. Does anyone else have any comments that they'd like to add to what's going on here?
3 minutes left if you're going to raise your hand. It's now or never. It's never. I wish we would have heard. I don't know if they're out there listening or anything, but Preston and Bill, we talk about you guys every once in a while, and we pray for you, and we've appreciated you and Sheila's part in the show, and we just want you to know that we love you, and we're thinking about you this holiday season.
Yes, and then Lou last week, you know, being on the show with us, she's lost her son, and, you know, that's one of the things, I can't imagine losing a child, I'm not going to lie. I used to hear people say, you know, I lost my dad or my mom, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. But until I lost a parent, I didn't really have a clue what they were going through. And so I do want people to know that we do care, we are compassionate, and that we do want to let you know that you're in our hearts and our minds. And during the holidays, we understand that this makes it a lot worse to contend with in some ways.
And reiterate what you said earlier, we want to say a big shout-out to our military men and women.
Yeah,
away from
I'm actually
going
to try to get a
home.
Couple of these people that don't think have any family thing to give us some names and put them out there for people to maybe put them on a list to give them packages and things. Well,
everybody
on,
can feel free
to
join me and Renee on our weekly Pay It Forward, just finding somebody, just staying open to somebody who needs something, some stranger, and just anonymously doing something to pay it forward for all the wonderful blessings that we've been given.
That is going to be a hard endeavor to keep up with, doing it weekly. I wish you best, and you will be in my prayers on that. I did something like that and tried to do it monthly, and even at that, it's funny how when you it's kind of like you laughed at me asking God to try me, to show me where I was. When you ask God to bring people your way that you can help, it's sort
there
of the
they
same.
All are.
It's the other edge of the sword, so... I won't be laughing at you quite as bad as you did me because I think it is a very honorable thing to do.
Well,
so
we're not really
we're
saying that it has to be every week. We're just trying to be awake to that, you know, step forward and really realize that we do have the power to do something even if we can't do everything and take those first steps. Gam Gam does it weekly, don't you? I meant Blog Talk Mom.
I do. I would like to say to anyone that's listening, I'm not angry. Sometimes I get very passionate about some of the things that I've experienced, but I'm not angry. I'm very thankful that God would even let me come into a situation. That I would like to leave one website. If it's www.chinaaid.org, please, if you have time. Read about our Nobel Prize winner that's in a communist prison and has been since 1999 simply because he was trying to protect other people's rights. A marvelous man. And you can read all about it, www.chinaaid.org. Our Christian brethren.
Mom, are you
in
a spiritual mindset right now?
I'm always in a spiritual mindset.
Well, good. I think that the best way to end this show would be, if you wouldn't mind, to leave this show with a prayer.
Okay, y'all join with me, and everyone that's listening, let's just set our minds upon the most beautiful gift that can ever be comprehended. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him would be saved. Lord, I thank you. Praise you for your word. I thank you, God, for the hope and the promise that we have. I thank you, Lord, that in all that we do, you can redeem it for good. And you will give us the mind that was in Christ, the mind of service, the mind of sacrifice. Lord, that we would love each other and that we would be so fervent to light that candle and not curse the darkness. We thank you, God, that you empower us by the mighty power of your Spirit, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ as it moves throughout every life that hears our voice tonight, that they'll be turned and brought closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for that. I want to thank everyone that's either listening to the show live or the ones that come back and listen in the archives. Again, we want to thank our military men and women who take the time to listen to this show. And I know we had a little silliness on here today, and we sort of got off the topic. But, you know, this is a very real world. You know, those people out there that are fighting to survive, you guys are on the front line dealing with those things. And we think we understand, but we don't. And for a lot of things that many times I may bring up for topic here, you know, I don't have all the answers. I wish I did, but we are serving a God who has all the answers, and he's willing and able to help us. And when we kind of titled this The Gift That Keeps On Giving, you know, what he did for the people back then, he's still doing for those people today, for all of us today. He's still saving people that are lost. He's still giving hope to the people that are hopeless. He's counseling us to guide us, to lead our steps in the paths that we need to walk. And it, all we have to do is lean upon him. We want to thank everyone for coming up, as Joy Bell said, on our second year doing this. We want to thank you for being a part of this show. We consider you family, and we pray that God bless each and every one of you. We'll be back next week at the regular time at 9 o'clock doing our one-hour show, and we'll be probably doing our annual show having to do with New Year's. We'll plan it out a little bit better this year. Last year we had some people that took part in sharing their resolutions, but then they didn't follow up with it, so we want to try to get that better established this year. And your, you know, ideas and suggestions would be greatly appreciated. So y'all have a good night. We'll be back with you again next week.
Away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling, and you're the one, but like Johnny, you're on. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, my love.